Good evening. Tonight we'll start the meeting off with the Pledge of Allegiance, which I will start. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Start with the roll call, Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Mayor Tice.
Here.
Pro Tem Osika. Councilmember Fear.
Here.
Haber.
Here.
Law.
Here.
Olson.
Here.
Heideck.
Here.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. This brings us to items of business in which we have one tonight. Special assessments, policy, and procedures. And at this time, I'll hand it off to the city manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, can you all see that okay, or do you want me to turn the lights off on one side of the room?
I can see it.
I'm okay.
Yep.
Okay.
See what?
Yes. Okay. All right, so tonight we are here. It's been a while since we've met on the fifth Monday. A little out of practice, but just the one item of business, presentation on special assessments. So this was predicated from a request over a month ago by City Council to consider movement on three specific things. One, whether or not to keep corner lot discounts as is. Two, to consider the interest rate on special assessments. And three, to discuss what to do with special assessment districts if another street bond passes. So based on those three items, we kind of crafted a presentation that not only it starts you thinking about these things, but also kind of refreshes us all on the special assessment process. So in our experience here at City Hall, special assessments have been handled a bit differently over the last 20 years or so. So prior to 2017, and remember that the $10 million streets bond passed in 2016, the city really didn't get rolling on that as far as physical construction goes until about 2017. But prior to 2017, there was really a true 60-40 split, 60% city paid, 40% special assessment paid on all expenses related to street improvements. The work usually back then, it consisted of just mill and fill projects that really only addressed the surface of the street. Very rarely did the city have to dig down further to replace the base. And back then, there were very little water main or utility replacement projects that occurred. So the decision was made to just redo the surfaces. So what that did was made sure the assessments were less just because of the reduced scope of work. But those resurfacing projects sometimes did not last even the life of those special assessments because the road base was not addressed. So fast forward to 2017 to now, projects really started to include the replacement of the road base and the underlying problems that created issues for the surface of the street, whether it was new or not. This was either necessitated by water and sewer replacement or digging down further to address the base problem of the street itself. Assessments increased due to this expanded scope of work, but an issue soon cropped up, not only with inflation, but you know, the more work you do, the more special assessment would be on the entire cost of the project. And I wasn't here then, but we could kind of see the conversation starting to happen where council seemed concerned with the rise in special assessments due to the scope of work and due to the increased cost of construction that we're still unfortunately dealing with. It was around this time that city staff incorporated what engineering calls the 4-inch rule and the 6-inch rule. This has been reflected in your individual special assessment presentations over the last 5-6 years. And that, just a refresher there, the 4-inch rule is for residential, and that means we assess 40% of the first 4 inches of that surface to be addressed. Whether or not we go deeper, it doesn't matter. 6-inch rule for commercial. Commercial is a little bit tougher on streets. They're using them more. They have heavy trucks sometimes, more traffic. So the rule is 6 inches, assess 4 inches on that first 6 inches. And this rule shifted more cost onto the city's regular streets funds. So this is an example of what it used to be. These are some streets projects in 2013. We have Brooks, Chipman, Cleveland, and Crust. And we'll just have a very brief scope of work explained. This is usually what was presented to council back then. And you can see the percent assessed was a true percentage of the entire cost of the project, not 40% or 60% of the assessable cost only. This is another, this is a further dive into the Crust project, so you can see what these assessments are. Back then, they were expensive, but it also meant that they're less expensive than today's, but it also meant that these residents for this particular project paid for more than current special assessments are being funded through individual property assessments. So they were paying for the entire project rather than just the assessable costs. These are some examples of how it's been since. I pulled the most recent, but it's just a sample representation. Keep in mind that North Street did receive a grant, a $375,000 small urban grant, but just for comparison's sake, there's really not much difference due to the cost of the entire project on the assessments themselves. So you can see here the percentage of total, that's in red. That percentage represents the amount of assessments, the amount that assessments paid for the entire project. But when you drill down in that 4-inch, 6-inch rule on that assessable amount, it's closer to the 40%. But on the whole, the assessments are still paying for less of the entire project than they were prior to 2017. Our point with sharing this is that while we do call it a 60-40 split, it's only 60-40 on the assessable cost side. So the true split is more in the 15 to 25% for assessments. This is just an example of a smaller project we did. These assessments are pretty high. You notice the two corner lot assessments, even with a 25% discount, are over $10,000. And this was a relatively small project, but with so little amount of assessable properties, this is probably what we're going to continue to see on these smaller projects. This is an example of North Street. Still, we're seeing some that get pretty close to $10,000. The larger amounts, the $36,000 and the $46,000, those were paid by the township, by Owosso Township, at the request of city administration. They don't have to pay that, but we're lucky that they do. And you can see a representation here of the assessments. If these truly paid for 40% of the cost, they would be much, much higher. And this is just our way of showing you the effect on that, of the 4-inch rule and the 6-inch rule. Just to talk a little bit about the increase in street construction or street construction programs since 2013, cumulative inflation is 36%. Cost of diesel fuel, 3% since then, but that's a pretty volatile commodity. It jumps around. The big one here, though, is the cost of construction, somewhat related to inflation, but even more so with the specific industry. 94% since 2013. If you want to go back another 10 years to 2023, from 03 to 23, it's about 164%. And this is just a representation of the components that go into the cost of street construction. And this is our biggest challenge here, the National Highway Construction Cost Index. This gives us a good idea of what changes have occurred in the last 10 years. These aren't all the components, but these are the big ones for us. This is highway construction, but a lot of this can be pared down to utilize for local predictions as well, as far as street construction is concerned. And it wasn't just COVID. You know, before COVID, there were increases, but since then, it's gotten pretty bad. More expensive, I should say. This is just another representation. This is a representation of all of the street construction components since 2013. Same source of information. So just to recap, prior to 2017, our 60-40 split on assessments was for total cost, again, because most projects were pretty simple. We were just replacing the top 4 or 5 inches of street surface. Utilities were not addressed. Road base was not addressed. After 2016-17, it got more complicated where council decided to ease the burden on prospective payers of special assessments. And now we find that this is just going to continue because for at least the next 20 years, Owasso is going to be addressing lead service lines, which most likely will involve or should involve, if we can afford it, if the city can afford it, replacement of older water mains. Not to mention we have some 4-inch still left. Thankfully, Mr. Suhanek has really drilled down on that. We want to upsize everything to 6-inch. We're doing good. Problem is, things are coming to a head as far as the water fund being able to afford to keep up with the streets fund and vice versa. I usually talk about this every year when we talk about the budget, but the Public Act 51 revenue formula has not changed really since 1951. The state gas tax did increase in 2023 to 30 cents a gallon. I believe that was 3 cents cheaper before then. I would have to double check. But that revenue from the state gas tax goes towards the state highway construction and repair, county road commissions for their responsibilities. Both of them get just over 39% of the entire gas tax amount. Cities and villages, we've been just under 22% for the last 80 years or so. This formula is really where the problem starts. Now, we did see a slight increase just because of that increase in the state gas tax, but when you think in terms of scalability, it doesn't really get us too far because the cost to rehab 1 mile of street is an estimated $2 million, and that has grown $1 million even since I've been here. It's the biggest challenge. If you can remember, the cost of road construction up 94% in the last 10 years. In the last 6, that's where we've been running into that. With 71 miles of street in Owasso, 38.8% are rated poor, which is a rating of 1 to 4. 1 being the worst, 10 being the best on the PASER rating scale. And when you calculate out that $2 million just to get those poorly rated streets up to a rating of 8 to 10, which would be where we want to be, you're looking at $77 million to do it. And with the state gas tax, our share of the state gas tax bringing in around $2.5 million, I would have to check the budget, between your two street funds, there's really not an easy way to catch up. Now, I'm being doom and gloom just because everyone should understand that no matter what decision you make tonight regarding special assessments whatever decision you make in the future with this information probably won't affect our funding model too much just because of the amount of work that needs to be done. It's a matter of how quickly you want to see the roads decay. They are in a state of decay now, and to be honest with you, they always will be unless some miracle funding model comes along where we can start addressing these streets. But even if we had this money now, it would take years to get through the physical construction in order to make it happen. To pivot a little bit, a question was asked, how many people that receive special assessments pay them off in the first year? And this is a pretty good representation of not only how many have paid that first year to avoid the interest rates, whether they be 6% or the recent change to 3%, but what that trend indicates. And what we're seeing is that about 30% pay off their special assessments in that first year with a slight decline since 2013. What this tells you is yours to kind of guess at, but my looking at this, less people are paying their special assessments in the first year for one of two reasons or a combination of both. One, they can't afford it all at once, or two, the city is targeting areas for street construction in areas where there's less income than others. Those are just two things to think about why you're seeing this trend line go down, but it's being held steady for the last 10 years, more or less. There was a question a month ago, what kind of interest revenue does the city see from its special assessment interest? You can see where in fiscal 23-24 was the first year we had that 3% interest rate down from 6. But it depends on, you know, what the principal is for that particular special assessment year. But you can see it hovers between, at the 6% mark, it hovers between $20,000 and $54,000 a year. We don't have enough time under our belts with the 3%, the reduction to 3%, to really show a trend there. But I would expect it to, reduce by half to maybe a third. Less people are going to be paying, in my mind, less people are going to be paying their special assessments off in that first year. So it's not going to be a true 50% cut. I think you're going to see two-thirds of your revenue from the 6% to the 3% in future years. So what about bonding? What if we did the same as we did in 2016, where the voters passed a X million dollar amount bond? In 2016, it happened to be an $10 million bond. Special assessments and grants stretched that to $16, $17 million. So if the city passes a bond for street projects, any project that utilizes that bond money to pay for the street and assesses a special assessment, the ordinance requires that the interest rate be 1% more than the interest on the bond. So predicting that, it's not really possible until we actually bond out for these things, but that gives you an idea of what your rule currently is. An important thing to note is when we do bond for this, there are costs associated with that, and the interest should at least cover the costs of the bond counsel and finance agent. And I think that is why that particular rule is built into your ordinance, to make sure that we're paying 1% more than the bond in order to pay that increased cost. And of course, this bond, any voter, any street bond like we used in 2016 would have to be approved by voters. Another option would be a Michigan Transportation Fund bond, and this is secured by our Act 51 revenue and the full faith and credit in the city. Our limit is $42 million. And that may seem like a very attractive option, but without dedicated revenue to pay that debt service and the interest, you are further degrading. The financial model is such that it will further degrade the condition of the streets because you won't be able to spend as much on O&M without something that is backing up those bond payments. Now, this doesn't require voter approval. But like I said, there's a risk because we know that we're not going to get much more from the state. We might get a few more percentages year upon year, but that all depends on how much people are driving and how much they're paying at the pump and how much the state is going to adjust or not adjust the gas tax. It could go back down. So that's the risk with MTF bonds. Another question came up, well, what if we considered reducing that 60-40 split if voters do pass a bond? It's possible, but current assessments, again, haven't been true 60-40 since 17. Engineering department stresses that it's closer to 80-20 or 70-30 if we're lucky. Current assessments are reduced by that 4-inch and 6-inch rule, so that's why you're seeing those smaller splits. So the more assessments are reduced, the less is available for street projects, and the faster they deteriorate. I've kind of already touched on that, but I guess no matter what we do with the current model, we're going to see a continued deterioration of streets. And we're not the only community. I've driven through Saginaw, and Bay City, Lansing. Those are larger cities, to be certain, but all of them are struggling. Cities in particular, townships and counties, they're funded a little bit differently. But older cities, built-out cities like ours, this is going to continue to be a struggle for you. To move on to increasing corner lot discounts, so this would increase the discount from 25% to, say, 50%. Okay, you're on a corner, so 50% is a good round number to discount a special assessment. Just as an example, 6 out of 27 parcels on Stewart Street were corner lots. So just to kind of map out what that would mean for a change in the amount of revenue you got from special assessments, it's about $12,000 on a project like Stewart Street. And Stewart Street, remember, Stewart Street, the total cost of that was $1.6 million, will be $1.6 million. So $12,000 on $1.6 million. I bring that up because the question is, you know, what is it worth to you? Is there an equity argument for a reduction in the amount that corner lots pay in special assessment? That's up to you. I've shared just some thoughts with a couple of you on that. Maybe 50% would be more appropriate, but it's just how much are you willing to give up? And that's really all I had. Now, the mayor did send out our current policies. I touched on the bond interest policy briefly. But, Rob, you had sent all the council members our ordinances and policies on that. I can say that that one resolution from Don Crawford, while I was not here, it looks like the city had some out-of-date special assessment policies back before the bond was passed. And when Don proposed to repeal those policies, new ones were adopted, and those are the ones we use today. So with that, I'll turn it over to you to discuss amongst yourselves. If you have any questions, we have the finance director, the treasurer, and the city engineer here this evening to answer the more technical questions. Well, I'll start out with anybody that would like to have this. Yes, councilperson.
Yeah, thank you, Nathan. Just a couple. What was the city staff thinking around the 4-inch, 6-inch rule? And here's question number one. Like, how did that come about to reduce the assessable value pushed onto the special assessment? Like, what was the genesis of that?
I'll have Clayton help me with this, but my understanding is assessments started growing. At a true 60-40 split, they were growing pretty high. And I think what happened is it just started to become a worry for council at the time that they were asking residents to pay such exorbitant amounts on special assessments. But
if you go back to that 2013 slide that you had,
sure.
So I list the 4 districts for that year. 3 of those weren't actually constructed. Hmm. We did resolution number 1 and number 2, and then the process stopped. So
it didn't get past that, like, council level?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, it only made it through one resolution or two. So
Is that because of cost to the
at some point, council decided to stop the process, most likely because of the residents protesting the amounts or protesting the assessment.
So yeah. Crest Drive is the only one that actually went through?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The 4-inch and the 6-inch rule was adopted to alleviate those concerns.
Okay.
Apparently, council at the time did not want to completely do away with special assessments, but just from the record, they probably said these are too high, come up with something that makes them less.
Yeah. And then just from my understanding, what goes into, like, the base? Like, if we're stopping at 4 inches and 6 inches, what all goes up into those base costs?
Yeah, just the top 4 inches, so 4 inches of asphalt. A lot of times the drainage structure probably would be included in that. depending on the scope of work, if we do a full reconstruct, all the curb and gutter would be included in that, same with driveway approaches. But your big heavy hitter is just the asphalt. Now, we're putting more than 4 inches of asphalt on these streets as well, so you're only paying exactly for a portion of the asphalt.
What's the typical thickness of the asphalt?
For local streets, it's usually 6 inches of asphalt. Major streets, we're up probably 7.5 inches of asphalt.
Okay. Then beyond the 4 and 6 inch, what else goes into those costs in the base?
Aggregate base costs, we put down geotextile. Any other groundwork like storm sewer, that's not assessed. Those are the big ones.
And if there's a water main under there, that's in there?
Water main's not assessed.
Okay. Because that's just from a different fund?
Correct.
Okay.
So what would be the total that could be assessed to a property owner? Are you talking about curb, gutter, that type of thing, pavement? And this is, so basically, the way I read it, it seems like when you do a road now, in the past, you might just go 4 inches down. Up to now when you do a road, no matter what, you're going to go maybe all the way down and get into the base. Is that correct?
I wouldn't say no matter what, but what we have found is that a lot of the streets weren't constructed on an aggregate base.
Oh.
Some of them is just clay.
I got you.
You know better than that, you just go right on top of that clay.
Yep. Yep. Okay.
Rob?
Yes.
Just a representation of what you usually see when a special assessment is presented. You always receive the engineer's estimate in your packets. And this breaks down line by line what is an eligible assessment and what is not. And you can see that here in the column entitled eligible amount. You get this every time. And if you really want to break it down,
sure,
what's assessable, what's not, that's where it is.
Good. Good. Thank you.
What amount of the things that we're doing now compared to when the assessment was perhaps lower are just best practices now, or are they, while we're there, let's do it once so that way we don't have to do it again? Like, there was a concern from a citizen that her fear was that the road moved up in priority because it also needed the water main. So then all the things that are additional, like, is there ever a time when mill and fill is actually what the road would need, but we do way more because we're there to do something else, therefore we're just going to do it all. And so the resident is actually being assessed for a full reconstruction versus what they would have been assessed for a mill and fill.
Well, you got one thing wrong there.
Okay. That's surprising. Something more.
Yes,
nailed it.
You know, we're doing much more now, but the 6-inch, 4-inch rule,
right?
It prevents an assessment now compared to prior to 2017 from having to pay those increased costs because we're only assessing for that first 4 inches.
But aren't we still assessing for the curbing and the driveways and the, I mean, yes, all the stuff that you mentioned before?
Yeah.
Are additional. That wouldn't have been part of the program for the mill and fill back then.
No, typically you wouldn't replace curb and gutter on a mill and fill unless it was in terrible shape.
Right.
You could have just done a spot curb and gutter repair, but no, typically, you don't do a full with the mill and fill.
Yeah. So the additional things that we do beyond the mill and fill, what percentage of the project would you, like, of the cost of the project would you say is actually, like, goes into those things, like the extras that they wouldn't have otherwise maybe necessarily needed, but are done and then they're assessed for?
Well,
I mean, everything's needed.
Like Clayton said, the biggest item for any assessment is going to be those courses of asphalt.
Right.
But in each and every special assessment, it does list out, we got to do curb here, or
right,
this fixture needs to be replaced or repaired. And you can see what that cost is. If we wanted to drill down and find a percentage, we could do that. But it's presented to you on every assessment,
right,
and it's really different sometimes.
Right.
Sometimes we don't need to do much curb at all. Sometimes we need to do the whole darn thing. Most of the time what we do is keep the curb that's in good shape if we can, if it's not going to affect the final road grade, or if we're adjusting the final road grade and it's just at a different elevation. We'd keep as much as we can, but the biggest amount is that asphalt. It always has been.
Yeah. Which would not.
And to answer your question before I lose train of thought, you would also ask, you know, how many streets now could just use a mill and fill and be good?
Correct. Yeah.
Very few, because it was the city's practice for decades just to pave over clay.
Right.
And I talked to Clayton about that once, and it was a non-starter.
Because we're really only targeting the Pacer poor, right?
That's just to show you a representation of where your streets, what they're rated now.
Right.
We're not only concentrating on the poorly rated streets. Sometimes we have a water main that's rated, that's under a street that's rated fair, but we don't want to rip a water main up and have, you know, one patch down the middle of the road. So we would just redo the street.
Right.
Because once they get to fair, they deteriorate pretty quickly. So in a couple of years, they're going to be rated poor, most likely. The higher you go, the less it takes. But once you get into these middle sections, I mean, 1-2 years could do it.
Yeah. Can I ask one more follow-up thing to your question about the 4-inch, 6-inch? Is it... One, is this something that we've done, that you've adopted from other cities doing something similar? Is that where you kind of got the idea of doing it? Two, is it, could that go away at the whim of whomever's sitting in your chair, who's ever chair? Like, is it written in stone that benefit or that breakdown is going to continue to happen for residents? Or is it just kind of like...
The only way to test that would be to propose to council to get rid of it. It's a political decision. Would this council get rid of the 4-inch, 6-inch rule? I would say probably not, just because your assessments would jump pretty high.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if it's meant to safeguard the budgeting for
the consumer. It's not strictly a staff decision, because assessments on a case-by-case basis are approved by council. So if we suddenly said, we're not going to do that 4-inch, 6-inch rule anymore, it doesn't matter. It still has to go through you, council.
So who implemented the 4-inch, 6-inch?
That was before Clayton and I.
And it would have been the city council that implemented it?
It was Don and Randy at the time.
It sounds like it was like in 2013.
Yeah, right. Council just pivoted and started approving special assessments at the lower amount.
Yeah.
I couldn't find any record of the minutes on council at that time sitting here.
Yeah. I just didn't know who controls whether that continues or goes away.
Yeah,
and if it sounds like that we decide even down to the how the assessment is drawn up with the 4-inch, 6-inch rule.
I believe that is correct. Okay. Yes.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah. Got a quick question. This curiosity, 39 miles that need to be redone. Do you have any feel the percentages that it's on clay of that 39 miles, or no clue?
I wouldn't hazard a guess, but I would say probably the majority of it.
The majority of it. Okay.
I guess just to follow that up, before I got here, I think it was 2012, they hired a consultant to do some non-destructive testing on all of our streets, ground penetrating radar, falling weight deflectometer, just to see what was underneath. I do have those figures, but there's ranges on there, what's good and what's not, so... They did do some homework back then in 2012.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got a question to me?
Yes.
So when we're reconstructing everything, we're taking the approach of rebuilding it. Is the usable estimated life of a street that's reconstructed 20 years, is that a reasonable argument? Or what's our useful life on a street that's not mill and fill, completely reconstructed? And let's just say in this scenario, we're not doing any tinkering underneath to destroy the integrity of the finished work. What would a street last in the city of Owosso? Not a main street.
It really depends what kind of maintenance you're doing in between. Got back into doing some chip sealing and stuff like that. That helps seal on the surface to extend the life of a street. really depends how much maintenance you want to do. You can get 50 years out of the street, but you might be doing a chip seal, you know, every, say, 10 years, and then 25 years in, might do a small mill and fill. Big thing that we're doing now is we're putting a base in, which allows us to do that sort of maintenance from here on out. So next time we get to that street, we're not going to have to dig down and replace all that base.
This is a question that's tied into that, which is like, okay, we're talking about replacing streets, but what's our funding for maintenance to stretch these streets out further? I know we're just, I know the presentation is focused on just repairing bad streets, rebuilding them, but if we also don't have the maintenance money to stretch the life of them, how is that tied into this picture for funding?
It's tied into the, it's tied into special assessments because we, I don't believe we have special assessments that last 20 years.
Yeah, we do. We have at least one.
At least one?
At least one.
Okay.
I think Oliver Street is 20 years. So.
But on funding, what's the plan for operation and maintenance on a new street? It's what we have already, is most of it's from Act 51 receipts, our share of that.
Yeah, I'm just trying to comprehend, you know, like, with all the miles we have to, like, replace, with every mile we replace or have, essentially, like, what's the percent? If the new construction cost goes up dramatically, what's our ongoing maintenance cost, which is the legacy cost of the infrastructure? Like, I'm just wondering how we're thinking about that as a city to make sure we get as much useful life out of it as possible.
Well, we just haven't gotten that far. The cost of redoing the streets is more of what we're focused on.
So, right now, we're looking at, I think we said, what, 39 miles? Is that what we got here?
Well, that's just a representation to show you how many street miles are rated good, fair, and poor.
Yeah, so 39 miles is what we're looking at. So my question is how are we going to maintain 39 miles? Are we going to, 4 years from now, are we going to be up to 44 miles? Are we going to be down to 32 miles, if you follow what I'm saying?
Oh, that number is going to grow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Based on just the way we're doing business today with assessing. It's going to grow.
We're so far behind at this point.
So we're a sinking ship, is what you're saying. And unless we find more funding somewhere, I mean, if we can't even maintain 39, you know, no more than 39 miles, we're in trouble. Okay, a council 10 years from now. And they're going to be saying, well, now we got 77 miles. No, not 70, but out of 71 miles, we got 60 miles. And so how do we keep that from growing? You know, I think that, you know, there's always been issues of why we even do assessments. And how, you know, how can we get money elsewhere so we don't have to assess? And I don't see that. If based on the situation we have here with the roads conditions we have, that's going to happen. I did feel the pain about that young lady with the corner lot.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I think there's something that we can think about there that might be more fair in that situation. But does anybody, city manager Clayton, any ideas on how we can keep from increasing from 39 miles? And are there any ideas? Yes.
How do other municipalities budget for the roads? You know, everybody gets Area 51. Do they? Not Area 51, sorry.
same as we do. The same as we do. You know, a lot of communities, especially around here, they chase those federal grants, but at $2 million a mile, $375,000 max on one grant, when you have to share year over year with others, it doesn't really stretch too far. As far as grants for streets, God, they just don't exist, unfortunately. other cities are doing exactly what we're doing, having these same discussions. But I will say some of my colleagues have reached out asking how special assessments work, and when they get into it, they're like, we can't start this. Some communities haven't never done them. My previous community thought about doing it, but didn't want to go through the process. Well, politically, it's a tough decision to make in order to get it going, but in Owasso's sake, we've been doing it for years, decades. So
doing special assessments is not common then? So we might have a little bit more than other communities?
That's fair. Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't say 50% of communities special assessment, 50% don't. I think the percentage is much lower than for the ones that do. Okay. So I don't know that for sure.
Yes.
Are there any, so I read about something in Holland that they're doing, apparently they run warm water underneath their roads to prevent the machines having to come through to de-ice. And things like that.
Well,
it's like a project that they've done.
We're talking about road maintenance and rebuilding. This was not a discussion on. I mean, you're talking about snow removal.
No.
A lot more snow.
I apologize. Let me back up. Are there opportunities?
Not to mention, it'd be much more expensive.
Are there opportunities that we're missing to help solve this problem in the long run? That are there any other grants out there for renewable, you know, road materials, or are there things that we could be incorporating or shifting to that would unlock, like, so that way every mile that we do replace, we're replacing it with more money from an outside source. So that's where I'm just trying to find more money.
I'm not sure about that project, but I seem to remember, I think it was downtown, right? It was one of their downtown streets.
We've done it quite a few miles now.
If you calculate it out, our downtown is a small portion of all the streets, and we have three state highways. I'm not sure how many Holland has. It's a neat idea, but I am willing to venture to say it's going to be much, much more expensive than the traditional. And whether or not...
I just didn't know if that extends the life.
Whether or not grant funds would be available to fund an entire project with that special component, I don't know. Would it extend the life? I'm not sure. I don't know if Clayton has any idea.
No, I haven't heard of that sort of setup before, so I don't even want to mention, I guess.
Well, some cities do it with sidewalks. I've never heard it with a street, but
they're
usually
neat.
Downtown.
Grand Haven, yes.
That's a person by that.
More money there, too. I mean, think about this.
Right.
Think about this. Cities half our size. Some cities half our size have the same amount of revenue and expenditures that we do. So cities that are around 7,000, 6,000 population, this is not a community that gets as much in taxable revenue as others, even smaller than us. So that's another challenge that we have.
Explain that. Explain that. They get more taxable revenues than we do.
Well, your total budget, all funds, is around 50 million.
Okay.
Population of, let's call it 15,000.
Oh. Okay. 50.
That 50. Same 50 million is pretty common for cities in other parts of the state that are half as large as us, mostly in the western side of the state.
So you're not just talking about streets, you're talking about a whole budget.
Right.
Yeah. And that's because of the caps.
My point is some cities have more general fund dollars to throw at streets.
And they're getting that 7,000 at 50 million, they're getting that 50 million by what? By how?
Well, that's just an example.
Yeah.
Okay, so their taxable value is higher than ours.
Their taxable value is higher.
Their millage rates are higher than ours.
Got it.
They have the value to get more revenue, even if their millages are the same as ours.
Gotcha.
That's all I'm trying to say.
Gotcha.
Mayor.
Yes.
So I know we utilize, like, collective buying power and, like, vehicles and things like that. Is there any sort of push with municipalities that kind of know the commitment of roads they want to do to, like, strong-arm asphalt companies to get that price down to say, like, hey, we're going to buy
X miles, if you can give us sorts of pricing where like cities are coming together and to get economies of scale. I mean, if it's, I'm assuming that every city is buying about the same commodity level style of concrete and asphalt. Is that an accurate assumption?
Well, you're seeing that now. It's a reflection in the markets why all of the components that go into street construction are increasing at such a rate, because everyone's doing this.
People are trying to buy them?
Yeah, supply and demand.
Explain, if you would, because it always comes up. It always comes up about Corona.
What about Corona?
No, they don't assess.
Oh, that's not true.
And they have a road millage, and you know everything's just perfect over. You know, and their roads are great. So
look at all their streetlights.
You spend 5 minutes on Corona's website, you'll be able to find minutes where they have not only assessed for streets.
They do assess.
Not as many as us, and it's been a little while. But streets and sidewalks. Okay. Assess there. Durand has assessed for sidewalks. I'm not sure about streets. Well, it's just a matter of going through their minutes and looking for it. But okay. They have. Nowhere near to the frequency that we do. Mm-hmm. But they have.
They have. Yeah. Okay. And you've always explained that we can't have a 2 year, if we get a road millage, based on, I don't know if it's Headley or what it's based on, but
your charter, I believe.
Your charter. It's a charter. That's right. It's a charter.
Charter, man.
Yeah, the charter
seems to be that.
And the one way around that for streets is you bond for them. That's why 2016, your bond, $10 million bond worked.
Right.
For that.
But it can only be 2 years?
No. No, for bonding, the millage lasts for as long as you have bond payments. But to do just a flat assessment on streets, you couldn't do that for more than 2 years per your charter. Let's say you could, though. How high would that assessment have to be if you wanted to catch up on all of your poor rated streets?
That's a great question. How high?
How many miles can we reasonably do in a year? Because at some point you're going to be limited by it.
So let's say, let's say we had $80 million.
Yeah.
How long would it take us to reconstruct all the poorly rated streets?
Right.
Care to venture a guess? I think you and I would be retired by then.
We're not
going to
hold you to this.
No.
No, I mean,
ballpark. How many miles a year?
When I first started here, we had 4 to 5 contractors working in town at a given time. So each one knock out a mile or so. So maybe 5 miles a year would be reasonable. But anyway, if the money's there, then you can be strategic about it, but yeah.
So what?
15 to 20 years then.
Ten years, yeah.
Well, 5 a year.
Yeah. In the meantime, the other half.
But we still have to repair.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Of the 39 miles of poor, how much of those miles are? What percentage of those could we actually nurse along through some intervention right now,
Once you're getting down in that 4, 1, 2, and 3 range, you're not seeing anything that's actually a little bit sustainable. It's just filling potholes or hatching.
So it doesn't work. Does it improve the quality of life for the people that are on the road, like that live off that road, or? And how much does that typically cost? Like per, I don't know how you. How you come up with that, like per mile?
Here's a good representation of what Clayton and I are trying to tell you. This was a presentation I put together back in 2019 when the city was considering going for another $10 million in the election of 2020. So in the first it's been a while since I've seen this. So in the first 15 years, assuming that your street maintenance program is bang on perfect, you can expect a 40% drop in the quality of that brand new street in the first 10 years of its life with excellent maintenance. Once it gets to fair, that's when things start falling off. So another 20% drop in quality, keep in mind, with the same stringent maintenance program. Another 20% drop in quality over the next 5 years from fair to poor. And once it gets to poor, there's no bringing it back without a full reconstruct.
So,
never mind these cost estimations. They were from 4 years ago.
So why are we not prioritizing the poor streets?
This is where I'll let Clayton answer that after we talk this through. So back in 2019, your average PASER rating was 5.66 on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best. Before your 2016 bond, you were at 5.35. See how little $16-17 million affects it? It's just such a big problem. It's difficult. It's difficult to make the improvements to get every street into the green. I'm sorry, what was your question?
Why are we not prioritizing the poor streets then? The fair ones, it sounds like they're 5 years from death anyways.
Because so, I think I can help answer that. Clayton, if you want to add. But the way the previous mayor explained it to me was that we're not only targeting the poorest rated streets because there are now water mains and service lines to replace. And those aren't necessarily under the worst streets. And we simply can't afford to do those and the poor streets. We're getting to the point where the two funds are chasing each other right off a cliff.
There was also a big push to make sure that the mileage that was done was equitable between the different quadrants of the city. Mm-hmm. So that might have shifted to make that equitable, maybe there weren't enough poor in one quadrant, so they had to do some fair, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
See a lot of long faces, but
so go back to Councilwoman.
You guys asked for it.
Question about what would the millage have to be?
Yeah.
To make a dent in this.
There's really no reason to even consider that, because it would be so high as to be unattainable.
If we could find a private benefactor, would just will it to us. So let's put a number out there. Just kidding.
You know. Yeah.
I mean, 1 mile is $2 million. That was for a full rehab, not mill and fill or maintenance or anything else. That's $2 million to dig it all up, replace absolutely everything, and that should last us 50 years with maintenance.
No, it'll last you.
Yeah, so from there to there is 50 years on its sad decline.
If you let it go
until it's complete junk, sure.
But you said somewhere around the 20 to 30 year mark, there would be like maybe a mill and fill. Is how you would extend that life.
That's when you're at that.
But so
four,
that,
five, six.
That's it. The 4 or 5 is when you would have done that.
Right.
So
once you do your 15 until you 20. Jump back up to say a 9 and then start declining. Mm.
So if you only had 1 mile of road to maintain and you replaced it, at what point would you replace it again? Like, where is the dream threshold of like, we won't let it go beyond this point of disrepair?
Perfect world, the entire street system would be at a 7.
So once it hit 7, you would start all over again?
Right, you would do, say, like a mill and fill, bring it back up to 9, give it 10, 15 years, do it again.
At a 7, can you basically just take maybe a 2-inch off?
Yeah. Even at a 7, you can do a chip seal to give it, you know, say 5 more years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't have to take 4 inches and all that kind of good stuff.
Right.
So are we, I mean, since 2017, we've done how many roads? With the new program, the 4-inch, 6-inch assessment, all those, doing everything down?
There's almost 9 miles of road from the bond program.
So is it in our plans to, when they hit 7, that they get the priority then for us to do a mill and fill and refresh them?
You're not going to be able to afford that.
I get about $100,000 a year to do some chip seal, so those would be candidates for chip seal in a couple of years here.
So even when we make a road better, it's really just to restart the clock to watch it go bad again. It's not to do like a way that we could sustain it and keep it, keep the value of our project. Which would cost how much, I'm sorry? You said $100,000 to chip seal?
That's just my yearly budget for chip seal.
Oh, for, and how many miles does that get you normally? Of chip sealing?
Maybe a mile.
1 mile? Yikes. So you need a lot more. You need like $7 million.
I think when Klain said 9 miles of street replacement, that's all been on bond money, not from our general fund monies like that. It's all bond money.
There was an effort with the last finance director and the engineering where the bond money was used, special assessment, and urban renewal dollars were used all at the same time to expand that as much as possible.
Yeah, I think you said up to $16 million or something like that. So. But then again, it all started with the bond.
Yep.
And so anytime, you know, if we're, you know, one way we addressed it in the past councils was to get that $10 million bond. Were you involved with that, Dan, a lot, the $10 million bond? I know that Burton Fox was big time.
If I'm not mistaken, that was the election I got elected in when that went through November 16. I could be wrong.
Right.
That was actually one of the rare things that I actually did vote for when I came through.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that Mayor Eveleth was involved with that.
And if I may, real quick, city manager is correct. We know what I do for a living. I am everywhere all the time. So we have some pretty terrible streets in the city, but come to work with me sometimes, and I'll show you places that make every street in Owosso look great. The other thing, and this doesn't get, I think, pointed out enough, when we first discussed and bringing up this meeting, I made a bit of a comparison, and I'll make it again here. In 2008, I bought my first house, and that was in Flushing. And I had it narrowed down between the house in Flushing and a house in Corunna. I really liked the house in Corunna, single-story ranch, getting this two-story Cape Cod I bought in Flushing. Yeah, okay. But what sold me in the end was my taxes on the house in Flushing were about $800 less than the taxes on the house in Corunna. Now, fast forward a bunch of years, we have the house up here on Far Street. By way of comparison, since we bought the house in 2019, we've had a special assessment for Woodlawn. Of course, the millage for the schools, the millage for the roads, and Parks and Rec. Our taxes are now on par with what I was paying in Flushing 15 years ago now. So that's the thing. The smaller communities that have higher revenue, they're paying a lot more in just base property tax right up front. And that's the thing. Yes, we don't like these special assessments. I'm paying one for a street that I parked my truck on once in 5 years. Our address is Woodlawn. We're paying for the assessment for Woodlawn. But the front of our house is far. Our driveway is far. We don't use Woodlawn for anything. Literally nothing. Which brings me to, and disclaimer, I live on a corner lot, and that's kind of where what I would like to address in this. Mm-hmm. If we went through, and it needs it, and redid FAR, we only pay 75% for Woodlawn, but we would pay 75% for FAR, which means we're paying 50% more than all of my neighbors. And again, most of us on corner lots, how many people have a corner lot that actually take advantage of both streets? In 5 years, I parked on Woodlawn Avenue once. I look here. While I was sitting here listening to everybody chat, a study published in the Journal of Real Estate, Finance, and Economics found that on average, the lots sell for roughly 5 to 20% more than interior lots, that being a corner lot. So just my lot is worth 5 to 20% more, but when we pave my streets, I'm paying 50% more. And I think that's kind of a problem, and I'd like to see the corner lot deduction addressed a little bit on that.
Okay. Yep. Yes, go.
I'm sorry to come back to this, but I'm just trying to understand not only the problem that's in front of us right now, which is
funding just the continuation of street repairs, but also the ongoing maintenance costs, the infrastructure legacy costs, and, you know, the to even get to a point, from my understanding, correct if this is an incorrect assumption, is that in order to even get into, like, the appropriate structure we need to repair a street, the base foundation has to be transitioned from this clay to a more sturdy base. Is that correct? Like, we wouldn't even consider that option of, like, resurfacing the road if it's clay or just like a shaky foundation, right? So out of the 71 miles in the street, how many of those miles have a base that can even be repaired? How many miles have a new base that are set up to be repaired in that way in the future?
So at least nine.
Better be nine. Everything that we've done since 2017, I'm fairly confident to say yes. You look at what's in that fair category, and maybe half of those would have a decent base underneath, but...
What is that in miles, just for...
So that'd be about 20 miles.
Okay. So we have about 51 more miles of base to fix before even the resurfacing option is even on the table. Not to even mention how we pay for that, but just the base is going to be the big thing to tackle. Okay. That's helpful for me to just wrap my head around all these components. So is there a number that you have at the city that is like, okay, for every mile we repair, every mile we redo fully, like in that 15-year mark, here's how much money, if we, in a perfect world, if we were putting a little bit aside into a savings account, we would need to then uphold, again, the legacy cost of that infrastructure. What is that number? Or is it a percentage of the cost of the road?
To do a reconstruct, you're probably at like $140 a square yard, a chip seal. My recent bid prices are $5 a square yard, so.
Can you give that to me in a mile?
You're right.
I'm just thinking percentage.
Yeah, a percentage is fine.
So 5 out of 150 is 3%?
3% of the road cost should theoretically go towards
the next maintenance.
What's that?
The next maintenance.
The next maintenance, okay.
So you're talking about a savings program.
Well, I'm just trying to understand. I mean, we pay, like, it's the same thing with water, too, right? We buy all this new stuff. At some point, we have to fix it.
You've got to maintain it.
Right, yeah, you got to maintain it, so.
Because it's obviously so expensive to replace it compared to maintaining
it. Perspective, is the road budget, which we're going to go over Thursday,
is
the road budget for our next fiscal year $100,000 for the chip seal, or what's the budget?
Yeah, for 100,000 there.
So for 71 miles, we got 100,000.
Right, and as Nathan has shared with you, it's Stewart, correct? Mm-hmm. Stewart Street Project?
Yes.
So as a result, there's an urban renewal. So we had a 3-year conversation in regards to banking cash so that project can be cash flowed, because the fund cannot afford a $1.3 million expense in 1 year. So as a result, we took 3 years of $500,000 banking, so now we can cash flow that project. Hmm. So at $1.5 million in state aid, subtract $350,000, because that has been the regular transfer to the local street fund, you're at $1.2 million. Maybe we'll update this, we'll do a slide for them in regards to this. We will then have to subtract operational cost, which is a section of the DPW wages and engineering, and then you would have what's left in regards to what do you want to tackle, that being a repair project, or do we know we have a construction project tied to additional funding, that being like the Safe Routes to School grant and an urban renewal. Have that same conversation on the local side, you're getting approximately $564,000, add your $350,000 in transfer, you're at about $900,000. Subtract your operational costs, being DPW wages again, and engineering wages associated with that, and what is left.
that is a more dire situation because you wouldn't have enough for a construction project unless we banked probably something between a 4 or 5 year period of time.
Right.
To do a, you know, a true construction project. That's why then you're talking about a, you know, some of a maintenance or repair project.
And you're still just talking about 1 mile.
Yeah, to get to 2 million.
Just to be clear.
Right. Just to get to 2 million, right.
Yeah.
And sidewalks need to go in there. There is an obligation that a percentage of your Act 51 is used for non-motorized purposes. I think it's 1%. But, you know, here in the city of Owosso, there's the annual sidewalk. So, you know, you take that out. You know,
yeah.
Some of your fix that you don't want to necessarily give up, but you don't have a lot left in regards to what is being requested. You could do your repairs, but you're not going to do your construction. If you're going to do your construction, then you're tacking out for 2 to 3 years so you can cash flow that project.
So when it comes to the $10 million bond, okay, and you grew it to $16 million and so forth, and we decide as a council we want to try to go get another bond to try to keep up with these roads and get another bond. These bonds obviously got to be paid back, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
All right. So there's two types
of bonds. Okay.
Limited and unlimited. The voter approved millage
for
the bond is an unlimited bond.
Okay.
So as a result, the city council has the authorization to increase or decrease that millage to make your debt payment with no effects of your Headley overrides or the charter limited action. That's the point of the unlimited aspect. So the city has seen it as low as 0.5 mils, I think, before the new one was approved. There was something in the past. And I think the highest that the city has seen so far is 3.4 mils. And that's when I think the first initial amount. So you're going to see the presentation. It's going to there's going to be a request to set that millage at 2.14 mils for the upcoming fiscal year.
Yes.
And then what you have, the next set is limited, as Nathan is sharing, in regards to your limited is it can be your general obligation with the full faith credit of the city, that being you have the special assessments. Bonds, which you're saying you're approving a special assessment, and that's going to pay for the bond. You have the capital improvement bonds. Their administration has come before you to do such bond for the fire truck. You can do that for roads, but you're using the full faith credit of the city, and you would be using, you have to pay for it. You have to pay it back. And then the MTF, that being you're using the backing of your MTF, your Michigan Transportation Fund, or your Act 51 dollars to pay that back. So
for to keep it simple for me, mm-hmm. If I just told you, Brad, I said, hey, we're going to get a $10 million bond. It's going to go through. It's going to pass this year. And then in 2 years, we're going to get another $10 million. And that's going to pass. Unlimited or whatever. And in every 2 years, we're going to keep on getting you $10 million bonds for the next 5 years. So it's $50 million. Okay. Again, it has to be paid back.
Correct. And you're using the millage rate in an unlimited set, your debt millage, to pay that back.
Right.
Yeah, your current bond expires in 2039, that millage,
mm-hmm.
to do that.
So by doing five of these in $50 million, put it in simple terms, what does that mean to, let's say, me personally? I live here. What's that going to cost me personally to help the city pay it back?
We can get to the number. You know, we can update the slides and share with what the average. I don't know what the average residential home value is in Owosso, but we can do that. We can figure that out.
Because that's a bullet point to me. That's a selling point.
For 100. If it's 2.14. You know, that's $2 per $100. So that's in simplest terms under current.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, that's the kind of thing that, you know, those kind of bullet points that, you know, that's going to be asked if we ever do go out and try to get these bonds, because obviously that's going to be one of the means to try to keep us from this sinking ship.
Right. I just did a quick calculation with the budget that's going to be presented on Thursday. $1 million in the general fund is estimated about $316,000 in revenue. And keep in mind, that's net after all of the tax abatements being approved in the captures.
Okay.
So,
the mayor's point, we did water and sewer. I know it's a completely separate thing, but it was helpful to see how that broke down to hit the rates. Mm-hmm. Like, how it was, because that's what we have to communicate to taxpayers. Like, this is how it will actually affect here, but we're actually paying for this $79 million project. I think it's helpful for us to understand how big the mountain is and like how little we can chip off of it. But
if you want to do $1 million, that's approximately 4.5 mils a year for $1 million.
Yeah. For just $1 million?
3.5 mils from there.
And so we're only able to really touch roads because of outside help at this point, because I mean, we don't have enough money to do much of it. So you're saying, like, even at that, we would only be at $1 million.
3.5 mils would get you $1 million.
Which we're not proposing that we're doing that next year, so we're going to be even lower than that.
I'm not understanding. The 2.1, are you...
Right, the 2.1...
That's to cover your debt payment.
Oh, okay.
That's at $750,000.
I got you. Okay. Can I ask a dumb question?
Are there any other kinds?
I don't know. Probably not for me. Are we allocating our budget perhaps disproportionately to any other service? Like, is this something where we could actually put more of our actual budget toward local roads and things like that?
You're like, talking about the general fund?
Like, Kevin, earmuffs, but, like, maybe less to police and maybe more to roads? Or, do you know what I mean? Like, is this a thing? Because
we talked about the last budget, and I think my comment was, even if you drained the general fund's coffers, it'd get you maybe 3 miles, less than that.
Yeah,
five. Wow.
You can get stabbed on a perfectly paved street anywhere in Owosso.
And that's really not going to be an option. I mean, we're discussing this all in 1 week. Right? In 2 days, we're meeting to discuss the budget. Right. Right. This building, police need some serious work. So you're going to be considering a capital injection into this building on some structural issues that we've identified, an HVAC system that needs to be replaced, not repaired, replaced. And it's even worse over at public safety. We're fortunate that we might get, I think we're narrowing down our $1 million congressional appropriation, where our original request, if you remember, was $12.5 million. So they said $1 million. Kevin and I just had a conversation with USDA today. We're moving forward with that, but that's maybe 3 years out. It's the federal government, so it takes them a long time to get ready. It's not like the trail project where the state just writes us a check. So right now, we're concentrating on this building in next fiscal year, hopefully public safety after that. Just this building, I mean, we're estimating almost $600,000 in this building alone, just because some of the issues we're having. So when you're talking about cash balance on the general fund being paid for streets and nothing else, yeah, it doesn't get you anywhere.
Okay, well, I was just curious.
It is possible,
but it
doesn't get you anywhere.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So do you have any recommendations, like, presenting this information? And, like, I know we talked about the 4-inch, 6-inch, the 60-40, how it's not actually true. I know Councilman Law was talking about the corner lot split. And, you know, in the grand scheme of a large project, it seems pretty nominal. But I know that would make a difference for somebody on a corner lot. Like, what are some proposed recommendations for how to address this?
Your options are very limited because of your charter. Right now, where I sit, your only option is to ask the voters for another bond. And every few years, keep doing that.
What would have to change in the charter?
If the charter would have to change if you wanted to go towards asking for just a straight streets millage. You know, we'll do 5 mils a year, which, based on Brad's calculations, probably wouldn't be much. But 5 mils a year for 5 mils of 1.5 million a year for however long you can go.
And that
your current charter does not allow for that. If you want to redo the charter, it also has to be approved by the voters. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, even at full speed, it's probably an 18-month process.
What, just, maybe you could email this to me.
So just to go back, what are my recommendations?
Yeah.
I do not recommend that you you pledge full faith and credit of the city on any limited bonds without some sort of revenue to pay it. Otherwise, you're spiting your face. Whatever that, cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the same theory of kicking the can down the road for a short term when...
Well, even worse, it puts us in debt that you can't pay back without decreasing basic services. Mm-hmm. Police and fire are the ones that cost the most. And now that we're taking on ambulance service for smaller townships, that percentage of your basic services costs will only grow. But we've negotiated contracts with those. There just really isn't a magic bullet here.
We just need to invite the Grand Prix and make them pay for the roads.
I don't
like the Grand Prix road races. Make them. We need a sponsor. Yeah, we need a sponsor to redo the roads. That's all.
Yeah.
The ambulances aren't going to pay for them.
So the charter option is an 18-month process. What else is on the table?
Like I said, you ask the voters for another bond. That's really the big ticket, the big money items. That is really the only one that's going to be of any use to you.
And I'm sorry, a new bond would maybe unlock 5 miles.
No,
the total amount. You said that the last bond was 10 million. You got stretched it to 16 to 17 million.
That's using Act 51 grant dollars and special assessments.
Okay.
Yep. I see what you're saying now.
Maxed it out at 10 million as a result of what could be spent.
Right.
And then as a result, the millage rate after the fact is calculated to pay that debt off. And it's going to be presented to you that the debt millage has to be at 2.14 to pay the debt payment.
So if I'm understanding correctly, we pass a bond. The voters approve it or deny it. If it gets approved, then the taxes come later through the millage to pay for it.
Then you will see the millage on your tax bill to pay for that debt.
Okay.
If we decide that, you know, we might have special meetings on we did before back many, many years ago regarding a bond for the street. The council got together and spoke about coming up and trying to get a bond through. If we decide to do that, what's it take to get it on the ballot?
What's the timeline? What deadlines?
What is it? I mean, when do we have to?
August has passed. Yeah, so we would be August. November.
It would be November. So we still can get it on November is what I'm saying.
Yes, but you don't
what's our
have
timeline?
As much time as you think.
A couple of weeks? So we'd have to decide and get it get everything done so it's on the ballot by July sometime.
Not to mention you've got, it's a tough time for vacations and stuff, so...
Vacation.
I know. What a novel idea. But no, sometimes it's challenging to get everybody together to vote on stuff like that.
You're talking about the council. Yeah.
So, go ahead. If we're still paying off the $10 million bond.
Yeah, and we're going to be doing that through
2039.
Okay.
There will be an opportunity. It was refinanced prior to me getting here. So probably in 2029, it can be reviewed to see if interest rates are any better than they were at that time. If they are, then there would be more than likely a recommendation to refinance so they could be either lower payments or paid off quicker.
Gotcha.
But we do have a covenant saying we cannot do that until 10 years has passed.
You know what the rate is now? For
it's 4 cents.
Four, okay.
It's in the 4 range.
Do we have any other street bonds out there other than this one?
No.
Okay. Food for thought.
Nathan, can I just comment? One thing to think about if you're thinking about another street bond is making sure that our water and sewer accounts have enough money to follow that, that street bond. We don't want to replace the street on top of the water main that's prone to break in.
Absolutely. So absolutely.
That's another consideration.
Yeah.
And the speed that you need to get your streets redone with the bond is, what, 3 years?
So, yes, we learned that in regards to once an X amount of money is received, it needs to be spent per IRS guidelines. So, as a result, that would probably be handled a little differently. So, it'd be done in probably in 2 year bundles rather than what was done in the past, because I know there was pressure, because it needs to be spent once received within 2 to 3 years.
Gotcha.
So it would be done differently.
Can any of that bond go in the language specifically towards like repairs and maintenance of existing, so that we could spend that $3 million, wouldn't have to, or the 3 year period wouldn't execute all of that money towards new construction, but could go towards repairs and maintenance, or no?
No, that's an eligible expense. It's an IRS guideline being, yes, you were authorized for $10 million. So if you go out to the market and you ask for all of your $10 million at one time, you need to spend that within a three-year period of time. And that's what Owasso learned. One finance director was on. She got X amount of money, and then it was spent. And then a new finance director was on, and then the remaining amount was pulled.
That was too big of a chunk.
Yeah, it was too big of a chunk.
To get the work done, the time.
It's just the request triggers the spend?
Yes.
So if you don't request it, then you've got a little bit more time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Once you get your money from the market, you need to spend it within a three-year period of time.
But you're saying you don't have to take all 10 at once?
That would not be the recommendation. You would have another problem.
So, can you propose a timeline and amount that works in conjunction with the water sewer? Like what that would look like and how much?
How much is your water lines costing?
You know what I mean? Because that's
gonna
really
be,
what
we're going to be talking about. Obviously, all the funds in 2 days.
Right.
But your water fund, it can't take much more of what we're doing.
Okay,
you got 1 year left, and that is if the general fund loans it some money just to get through the next year. Yes. Increases in
everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those original numbers from that 5-year rate study,
They're
no good anymore. And so we've reached the point where it's next year, and that's really it for these rates. So if you don't have the funds in the water fund to keep replacing your water lines and lead service, that's really what's killing us, lead service lines.
Right.
There's little reason to replace the streets on top of it unless you're just going to stop replacing lead service lines and water mains.
I guess where I'm going is there's so many components to the ask. We need to make sure the ask fits with what we're actually capable of.
Right.
And we have no idea what that is.
If anything should come first, I would say it should be your water infrastructure.
Okay.
If you had to pick one
study
now.
Is that a new rate study?
Yeah, we have it.
The roadmap?
In the proposed budget, we are proposing a new rate study.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
could you take a 5, a Pacer 5, and get it back up? Like, is it, if it's in fair, could you actually resuscitate it back up to being,
sounds like, to resetting the clock?
Oh, sure. You can take a 2-track and make it a nice rated 10 paved street. It's all about how much it's going to be in.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Within the bounds of what you were talking about, the 2 inches down or whatever, like doing that, could you get a 5 back up to a 9?
Yeah, if you get a 4 and a 5, that bumps it back up to a 9.
So is there an argument that if we did get another bond, that we would apply it toward just reviving all the things from 5 and up to keep them, to literally, so that way we continue to move through the rebuild at the rate that we...
See my dotted line there?
Yeah.
That was something that Randy made me put in just to show that that's when it really starts falling off. So you could...
So 6.
You could bring a 5 up, but...
But that would have to be on only the 20 miles that have a
prepared
foundation.
Which is, right, which is half of the fares and the goods, right, which got us to the 20 miles. I mean, I'm just saying for argument's sake that it's like if there's a way that... You know, we can't fix it all, but we can get community buy-in on maintaining what we've already spent money on, knowing that it's kind of dedicated to it. I feel like then we can continue to chip away and try to get whatever.
Based on that question, Clayton, can you tell us, figure out that there's 10 miles, 12 miles of that has a good base under it, that's at a 5, that we can just do the 2-inch, 4-inch?
Yeah, I mean, we could probably find that, but a good asset management plan, they use the term mix of fixes, meaning you spend some money on your core, some on your fare, some on your good,
okay,
to try to keep everything up. So I wouldn't recommend just targeting just those fare streets. You have to start fixing some of the core too, just to get those into a better condition. So I wouldn't recommend going that route.
I think what Councilperson Olson's also saying is, okay, let's do poor. Let's do a mix. Okay, are there a amount of miles there that doesn't need infrastructure underneath it?
Today, probably not. A lot of service lines to do.
That's the service lines you're talking about. Gotcha.
Totally.
All right.
Do we have clay-based roads with curb?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually the non-curb and gutter streets, more so in the southwest part of town, that were actually have a big gravel base underneath that they just did matchups go on top of.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So that's actually the inverse of what you're thinking.
Right. Okay.
Sort of questions?
Should we talk about corners a little bit more? Does anybody else have any opinions about that? I agree. I mean, I also am a corner lot, so I feel like I'm...
There's 3 council
members
that have corner lots.
So amongst the 3 of you...
Well, I don't have a corner lot.
I'm not a corner lot as well.
But I think that...
I have a dog.
Jerry's not.
I personally, and I don't have a corner lot, as I said, and I think it's a fair thing that we would look at that and maybe get it on the agenda to go down to 25%. Even though we're
looking for... We don't have any resolution 5s coming up, do we?
I don't think it'd actually be a resolution. It would just be a practice on the next assessment.
Oh, we just would tell you that to go to 25%?
Yeah.
Do we do that? Can we do that now, or do we have to wait for the meeting?
You can do it one of 2 ways. When the next Reso 5 comes up, or the next resolution that specifies the corner lot discount, first option is for staff to leave it as is, and you have a public vote to alter the specific resolution to further discount corner lots, or staff can propose a reduction or an increase in the corner lot discount at the next appropriate resolution. Which do you want? Do you want
Do we want the glory or do we want staff to?
I'm not a political guy. I'm not a glory guy.
Or do you want to have a public vote on it and a public discussion? Yeah.
It's always nice to have a political. I'm not a political guy. I'd leave it up to the other six.
I would recommend we keep it as is and you change it the next time.
That's what you would recommend? Yeah. Okay.
Can we change it on the one and.
It's an election year after
moving
all.
Moving forward. Right.
Yep, I hear you.
What's that? Just, is it on a case-by-case basis or on the one with a resolution to change that?
It would be a policy change at that point.
Yeah, once it happens once, that's the way we would propose all future.
And that's the key there is future.
Just to be fair,
we wouldn't go back and discount. We'd have to discuss that.
More, right. Say we make the discount 40% instead of 25%. Because we care about the streets and want those done, too. It might be a pittance, but at the end of the day, if we did Woodlawn and Far, then I'd be paying 120% of what my neighbors are, but that's what my lot's valued at anyway. So instead of cutting it right down to a 50% discount for a corner lot, make it a 60% over the 75%, and that kind of keeps us more in the market value, but still gives us a little bit of a break for having the corner lot. Just a thought.
Thumbs down. Just kidding. I'm joking.
Yeah, I know.
I think that's a pretty good suggestion.
Yeah. No, I like that it matches the values, the bump that you get in the real estate for having the corner lot, too.
Yep. Good point.
It seems, Nick, are you with thumbs down?
I think it's based in some real numbers, so
yeah.
That makes sense.
Okay, next time it comes around.
We'll make sure to make a note of it.
Okay. Thank you.
You can change that.
Any other thing before we look for a motion to adjourn?
Citizen comments.
Oh, citizen comments. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you.
Interim.
So we're to citizen comments and questions, which, again, you'll have 3 minutes to address the council. Is there anyone at this point in time that would like to address the council based on, item of business, city manager?
General public comment.
No. General public comment. Any general public comments? Anybody would like to address the council at this time? Seeing none. Next meeting will be May the 2nd for our budget work session at 6 at the Armory. So with that, I'd be looking for a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Support.
Have a motion support. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you, everyone.
Yes, thank you.